Hello everyone, thanks for watching. My name is Madan Aramugam and I'm a product manager in Microsoft Azure. And the topic of the day is how to build scalable and performant applications using Linux and open source software on Microsoft Azure. Without further ado, let's jump into it. The first thing I wanted to touch on is how Microsoft is changing. Now you probably have seen this in action in the last 24 months. We've been investing a whole lot of efforts on, integrating with Linux and open source on Azure. And, about a couple of years back, October 2014, our CEO Satya, got up on the stage and talked about how, we are embracing Linux and full force in Azure. And that's a screenshot there. And, our efforts, since then, open sourcing .NET, the core CLR on Linux, as well as, the recent announcement, which is, announcing SQL Server support for Linux. All of these are essentially our strategy behind welcoming open source in Azure and making sure that, open source software runs great on Azure. And to that point, the evidence we have is, one out of every four VMs in Azure runs on Linux, which is a staggering number of VMs. And they range anywhere from dev test VMs to production line of business applications. So it's incredibly important for us to kind of make this a smooth experience for customers. So one of the things that we pay a lot of attention to is how analysts look at our progress, in terms of overall public cloud, and you'll see, across the different dimensions that matters for customers in public cloud, whether it's virtualization, whether it's infrastructure as a service, platform as a service, we basically have a leadership position across, and a lot of this is due to our continuous investment in all these different areas. And you'll also see, we have other areas beyond just the core compute platform or compute network storage platform, specifically around, the data offerings. And you'll see across all the different dimensions of data offerings, whether it's business intelligence, analytics platforms, again, Microsoft is in a leadership position. This is an important point because when, developers and customers, IT pro are making a decision on which cloud vendor to bet on, you want to make sure that it's cross-cutting across all the different workloads that you care about, right? And there is only Microsoft of all the vendors have this leadership position. So it's an important point for you to consider when you make a choice. And our strategy simply at the highest level is to make sure that there is no blockers for a developer using any application, any application framework, any language of choice, any device that you program, whether it's a client tool or thin devices, or any operating system for that matter. All of that, should be easy to work on Azure, right? And we want to make sure that any application framework, language, device, operating system works really well with Azure. And what you see in this slide is our attempt to kind of capture some of the top popular ones, choices that customers make, whether it's the infrastructure, whether it's the application framework, the platform as a service offerings on top of, Linux, the DevOps tooling, or just the overall management tooling, monitoring or diagnostics, that sort of stuff. And you'll see, we have the widest and the broadest set of offerings from open source that is able to run on Azure. And if there is a gap here today, in terms of a specific product or a specific open source project that's not running on Azure, we would love to know. Give us feedback. We would want to close that gap. Make sure that we are listening to you and address that as fast as possible. All right, so how do you get started? There are several ways to kind of get started with Azure. The most easiest way, if you're a Linux developer or an open source developer, is to start from Azure command line interface, and I'll kind of quickly show a demo of this. But essentially what you would do, if you were to start with the Azure infrastructure, you're bringing your own operating system image with all your custom software installed on it, or you're starting from Azure Marketplace, where we have a variety of offerings, open source offerings, enterprise-backed, Linux offerings that are available for you to kind of quickly get started. So let's take this for a spin. So what you see on the screen is, Azure.com. This is our standard interface for, anyone who's just starting out on Azure. And if I go to the portal here, I'll create a new entry here, portal.azure.com. This is your first, way to kind of explore what offerings Azure offers, and specifically with Linux and open source. So once you log into your portal, you know, it's a single sign-on, I'm already logged in, and you'll see me logging into my, you know, front view in the portal. I'll browse through a set of, curated open source offerings that you can just, you know, within a few mouse clicks go and create. So I'll say, I want to create a new compute virtual machine. So I click on new. And then immediately you'll see a set of offerings, right? You know, Ubuntu, and, you know, you have some Oracle offerings. But, you know, I want to actually explore this in a bit more detail. So if I open this up a bit more detail, you'll see I have a variety of offerings here. And, you know, let me see if I can kind of create a Red Hat VM. And you'll see there is few Red Hat virtual machine images. All these are pay-as-you-go. So, you know, you basically charge on an hourly basis. So I can click on the Red Hat Enterprise 7.2. I can go and say create. And you'll see a very simple experience, you know, that is UI-driven that shows up here. So basically, you will see, and I want to enter the name of the virtual machine, the username, you know, for the host name for your for your Linux virtual machine, and then whether you're using a password or SSH public key. And then off you go. You pick your virtual machine size, and, you know, you will have a virtual machine running pretty quickly. I already have created one, so let me kind of show you what I have. And I'll also show you how to kind of create this. And you'll see that, you know, I have created a Red Hat virtual machine here. You'll see I have a Red Hat virtual machine, you know, running already. Now, if I want to do this in command line, you know, it's a very simple experience again. The best way to get started with command line is to install the Azure command line interface. And I find that the fastest way to do that is actually through Docker. So what I have here is basically a Docker Quick Start terminal that you can install on your Mac or your Windows PC or your Linux PC. And then you can just run a Docker run interactively, and you can just pull down the official Azure CLI from Docker Hub. And what you see here is, you know, I'm you know, within seconds, I'm into an environment where I have everything pre-configured. So if you see Azure, you'll see my the Azure command line already installed, and you'll see a bunch of commands here. And I can also see, you know, what my, I can do a quick login here. You know, I have to do a two-factor authentication here. So what I'm gonna do is copy this, quickly go here and say, let me log into my account, and you'll see here shortly. And it's authenticating, this is a second factor auth. You know, you'll see this, and you'll see that I'm going to be logged in soon. And then I'll quickly show you, you know, some of the basic commands that you have to kind of quickly get up to speed with running a virtual machine on Azure. While this is logging in, you see this is already done. I'm basically setting up my default subscription for a particular Azure subscription that I want to use. You'll see this set, and then I'm set to go. At this point, I can just quickly create a virtual machine. And what I wanted to show here is a simple virtual machine template, which I think I'll go from here. So this is a simple, the same Red Hat Enterprise Linux virtual machine that I created, but I want to create it from command line. So what I'm gonna do is I'm just gonna grab this. A set of commands, right? So I do this. So what I'm doing here is I'm setting the configuration mode to use the Azure Resource Management, which is the latest version of the Azure Control Plane. And then I'm creating a resource group. A resource group is a management container of sorts. So I would do this. Creating it in East US. And once that command is done, I'm going to just run this last command, which would essentially kickstart the creation of the Azure virtual machine that's running, you know, Red Hat Enterprise Linux 7.2. So actually, I forgot to change the version name of the resource group. So let me quickly change that. And And it's asking for a password, which I will specify here. That's it. At this point, you know, it's basically, you know, up and running. So it's creating the necessary storage accounts, the necessary, you know, artifacts to actually go ahead and create a virtual machine. All right, so if you go back to the slide, so, you know, this is a very, very simple way for you to get started. I also mentioned, you know, that we have a marketplace image. You saw the curation of all the this Azure certified content for Linux and open source. But you can also go to our open source GitHub repository. It's under Azure, which is the official Azure repo. Looks like we are having some issues with GitHub. Quick start templates, if I can get here. Ah, looks like GitHub is not responding. At the very least, you know, you could go to the GitHub Azure handle and you'll see the Azure quick start templates. And, you know, this is basically the official repo. You should be able to go find, you know, a variety of open source templates. In fact, let me show you another way to kind of get discover these open source templates. So you go to azure.com. I'll make the screen a little bit bigger. You set on resources, you look at templates. And, you know, you will see a variety of open source templates here that you can just search for, right? So, you know, for example, if I'm searching for, say, Elasticsearch, and search for it, and you will see, you know, I've got a few examples here that I can just go and deploy. And, you know, you can just single-click deploy here. You know, you will see this portal experience that will take the, you know, the open source application templates for Linux and open source, you know, directly in a form that you can quickly deploy. So what you're seeing happening is you're basically grabbing the template from GitHub, rendering a UI on top of it, and you know, you're basically ready to go at this point. So, you know, you'll see that the template is being rendered. It's asking for a username, password. You add in a few details, and then you're up and going. All right. So these are just, you know, some easy ways for you to kind of get started. You know, you could obviously use our SDK, our software development kit also allows us to, you know, provide, you know, the same level of accesses that you have with the portal that I showed you, as well as the CLI that I showed you. So yeah, very easy for you to get started. If you haven't, you know, developed on Azure, you know, give that a spin. So let's kind of talk about performant and scalable apps, right? So which is the topic of the session. What do we really care about, you know, when it comes to applications? You know, the key thing that we care about when we come to applications is to make sure that, you know, they are treated well. In many ways, applications are like children that way, in that we develop them, we test them, we manage them, we spoil them sometimes. You know, you provide more resources than they are necessary to have, and sometimes you neglect them, right? So it's an interesting analogy, you know, to compare them to children, but, you know, it works in that they require ongoing care, right? So at the end of the day, what we want is we want applications to, you know, be faster, cheaper, and smarter, right? So this is kind of like the nirvana of, you know, what customers and, you know, specifically developers, open source developers, want to see on any public cloud platform. You know, how do you make your applications faster, cheaper, and smarter? So let's talk about what application patterns are being used in order to kind of accomplish that. There's basically two broad categories of application patterns. One is the lift and shift application patterns. These are the applications that are built for on-premises, typically, you know, single process scale-up. And what that means is it's built for a single machine. You know, the size of the machine can vary. Once the application grows up to a point where, you know, that machine is no longer capable of satisfying the performance, you actually, you know, upgrade it to a bigger machine, right? A bigger physical machine or a virtual machine. They typically require persistent disks. You know, it could be a shared storage or a locally attached storage, doesn't matter. But the application is built for a persistent storage pattern. They typically are, you know, using asset properties. You know, this is the atomicity, concurrency, and, you know, isolation and durability. You know, typical classical relational database type properties. So think of it as a three-tier application: your front end, mid tier, and a back end. A back end typically a very strong relational database. And this, you know, it does scale, but the scale is limited, and it's usually a planned scale activity, which means you're not just, you know, rapidly growing up or shrinking, right, in terms of your, you know, application requirements. It's a very you know, carefully planned activity. On the other hand, the second category of application patterns that we see in Azure are the cloud-born apps, or the cloud-native apps, as they are called. And the characteristics are they are fundamentally designed for elasticity, right? The primary reason these applications are called cloud-born applications is because cloud provides this enormous pricing elasticity. You know, you can add more nodes, and you pay for only what you're using. So, you know, these are applications that are taking advantage of that pattern. They typically prefer stateless disks. It's not to say that they don't use persistent disks, but they, because of the scale point that they are operating in, which is, you know, thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of machines, they tend to use stateless disks, you know, and this allows them to kind of quickly scale out and scale in rapidly as needed. They are also typically eventually consistent. You know, the big sort of the NoSQL applications, you know, the big compute applications, as you see, they're able to kind of, you know, trade off scalability for consistency, right? So scalability, you know, is the primary design point for these type of applications. And as I mentioned, it's for massive scale. They're supposed to burst on demand, you know, which is where you're getting the true economies of, you know, public cloud. So, you know, when you think about the Azure services, you know, there is a variety of Azure services that we provide, right? So how do they map to, you know, these two major application partners? As you can imagine, you know, there is a spectrum around a system administrator who loves control and flexibility in terms of determining what runs in their applications. And then there is a developer spectrum, which is focused on, look, I'm not interested in managing the infrastructure. I just want to get up and going as fast as possible, right? So if you map the Azure services that we have across the spectrum and across also the category of, you know, the application patterns, the lift and shift applications, as well as the cloud native applications, it looks similar to what you see in the slide, right? So on the left end of the spectrum, where you have most control is the virtual machines. Obviously, you can run Linux or any open source software. You know, customer essentially determines what runs within the virtual machine or a set of virtual machines. You can bring just forklift an existing application that's running on premises or anywhere else into an Azure virtual machine. But if you want to do better in terms of, you know, moving towards a cloud native application, your next step is a service called virtual machine scale sets, you know, which is basically, you know, going generally available at Build, the Build conference here. And you will see this is a pattern that allows you to create a large number of virtual machines, not a single, you know, two, three, or five virtual machines, but like hundreds of virtual machines, you know, using a single API. And it's especially powerful for applications that are built for cloud scale, right? You know, applications like Cassandra or Mongo or Cloudera. All these applications are, you know, meant for cloud scale. And then if you want to move a little bit further towards the cloud-native application, you know, pattern, you would think about containers. Containers increases the density of applications that you're running within a given virtual machine. It also allows you to kind of easily port your application from one hosting environment to the other, whether it's Azure and Azure Stack, whether it's Azure and on-premises. You know, any of these deployment environments are agnostic to, you know, what you're running within these containers. Azure has an Azure Container Service, which is in public preview, and, you know, we'll talk about how that enables this, you know, cloud-native application pattern. And then to the far end of your spectrum is, you know, a set of orchestrators. You know, these are application orchestrators. Think of it as mastermind for, you know, creating distributed microservices platform, right? Service Fabric is the Microsoft's own microservices platform, but you have several other open source flavors that are available, including, you know, Cloud Foundry from Pivotal, as well as Marathon from Mesosphere. So, you know, the way you would think about determining which application pattern you want to use is depending upon, you know, how your application is built or how you want to build your application, right? So virtual machines are what we would refer to as pets, you know, where every virtual machine has a very specific and unique purpose. You know, it is named very specifically, and that's why, you know, we refer to this as pets, right? You know, each of them have a name, you take care of them on an individual basis. Scale sets are meant for the scale pattern. You know, this is your cattle pattern, right? Like, so, you know, every one of them look alike. This is hundreds of virtual machines that are identical. And you create differentiation on top of it at the application layer, right? Again, as examples, I mentioned, you know, applications like Cassandra is a great example, you know, or even big compute applications. Container service essentially is, or you know, the analogy that I'm using here, they are like atoms, right? You know, they are individually composed. You can have multiple applications running within a single virtual machine, each isolated, you know, at its own Docker layer, right? You know, the Docker container is a very convenient format and ecosystem for you to port and isolate your application within a given container. You can even run different flavors of Linux containers within the same virtual machine, right? And then your orchestrator, you know, which the picture has suggests, is essentially a composer or an orchestrator of how this whole set of services would work well with each other. You know, essentially the microservices promise. So if you're building a performant app, you know, I'll kind of quickly show you a few demos on how to do that. But the first thing that you want to kind of pay attention to is choose the right VM size. In Azure, just like any other public cloud, we have a variety of VM sizes. Picking the right virtual machine size is absolutely critical to make sure your application, your open source application, is performing well. So what you'll see here, you know, I'm showing a page where it describes, and this is an azure.microsoft.com, where you describe all the different virtual machine sizes, the specification for each virtual machine size, and you'll see we have a basic tier, which is the A series, and you'll see the number of cores, the number of, you know, the amount of RAM that you have available, the disk space, and also the price, right? So it's also a price performance conversation. So you take a look at, you know, what is the virtual machine size that you want to use for your application. We also have a standard tier where there is no overcommitment of resources, but you know, we have a slightly larger variety of virtual machine sizes going from A0 to A7. Again, you will see the specification in this page. And then we have a new set of virtual machine sizes, also part of the standard tier, called the D series. The interesting thing about this is the D series have local SSD space as well as, you know, a faster CPU that is used than the A series above. And you'll see, you know, you have, you know, virtual machine sizes from D1 to D14 here. And then we also have DV2, which is an even faster generation or a latest generation of a CPU. These are using Intel Haswell processors. And you'll see basically these are the second generation of the D series. Again, they all have local SSDs that you can use for your application. The local SSDs are ephemeral in that if you're putting your application data in the local SSD, upon a virtual machine reboot or, you know, some sort of a virtual machine downtime that might happen, you know, you will lose the contents of the data. So very important to make sure that you're not putting, you know, data that you care about persistence on the ephemeral drives. We also have what we have, G series. These are the largest virtual machine sizes that are out there running in production in public cloud. It ranges from G1 to G5. Again, a lot more local SSD than the D series, and also the latest and greatest, Intel processors. You know, the ES, the E5, V3 family, if you will. We also have some special set of compute SKUs, one A8 and A9 optimized for networking. This use InfiniBand, so if you're running a big compute application or an HPC application written for Linux, you definitely want to think about that. And we have A10 and A11, which are, you know, more compute intensive, with the specification that you see on the page. So, you know, providing the right VM for your application, you know, is kind of the first place that you want to start. The next thing that you want to think about is storage. You know, we have a couple of big options when it comes to storage. You know, one is the standard storage and another is the premium storage. The standard storage, you know, as you see in the page that I'm showing here, here are the limits. You know, you basically, for any standard VM, a disk size is one terabyte. This is true for basic and standard. But the IOPS, you know, as measured by 8K, consistent workload is different. For the basic tier, it's 300 IOPS per disk, and for standard tier, it's 500, right? So, and then we have, you know, a different limits on the maximum number of, you know, utilized disks per virtual machine. So in a basic tier, you can attach up to 66, and then, you know, you have up to 40, you know, depending on the virtual machine size, of course. The premium storage accounts, you know, these are our premium offerings. If you are running, for example, a MySQL or a MariaDB, you know, anything that is a strong data workload, we would highly recommend you look at premium storage account. And you'll see that, you know, we have a higher default limit, you know, up to 35 terabytes. And, you know, the IOPS limit is also much higher, right? You'll see that we have three settings or three levels, if you will, for, you know, the premium storage disks. And they range from 500 to 5,000 per disk. So this is something that would really, really help you if you're thinking about a performant workload. And then there are general scalability targets that you know that you should be aware of. You know, when you're capacity planning your workload or you're forklifting your existing workload. All right, back to the slide. You know, once you choose the right VM size, the right storage option, the third thing is that you want to make sure that you know you are running, say for example, you're running an endorsed distribution of Linux. It is running the latest and greatest Linux drivers for Hyper-V, as well as our latest and greatest agent. You know, this is every virtual machine in Azure, Windows or Linux, has an Azure agent that's running within the VM to make sure that you know, we are able to kind of maintain the health of the VM and do specific basic functionalities on the virtual machine. And what you'll see me showing in the screen is a page where we've documented all the endorsed Linux distributions and the drivers that you need to make sure. In general, all the distribution vendors that we work with, including Red Hat or Canonical or OpenLogic or CoreOS or SUSE, we work with them pretty closely to make sure that the latest and greatest drivers and the agent are available. So when you go to the Marketplace Gallery for Portal or through the Azure CLI, essentially provision from the Azure Marketplace, you have the latest agent and the latest drivers. If you were, for a set of good reasons, bringing your own virtual machine image, that's where you have to pay more attention to, the right type of drivers and agent. So you want to make sure that, they have the right agent, the right version of the agent, and the latest and greatest Linux drivers. All right, so make sure that you have the latest drivers and the agent. And the last one is, if you're thinking about lifting and shifting apps, cloud is much more elastic, so you want to think about availability a little bit more than what you may have been doing in on-premises, because you have a lot more control in on-premises when it comes to availability. In Azure Virtual Machine, there is a concept called Azure Availability Set, and this is essentially being able to create a grouping of virtual machines that are isolated across different failure domains. And this allows you to, for example, if you want to create a highly available MySQL cluster, you would create three replicas, each isolated by its own fault domain. So something that you want to think about if you're thinking about performance, you don't want to trade off on availability when you think about a highly performing Linux application. Now let's talk about scalability. So the key thing about public cloud is auto scale is the cloud design point, right? So and we have a new service, as I mentioned, a virtual machine scale service that's going generally available and built here that gives you the IaaS like control and the PaaS like auto scale capability. So what I wanted to quickly show you is a few examples where we've been able to kind of identify how you can create a virtual machine scale set. So what you see here, again, going to Azure Quick Start Templates, we have a Linux VM scale set, and what this means is you're able to create one or more virtual machines. In this case, you can create up to 100 that is essentially running Ubuntu, and you're able to basically, in a single click, just deploy through the Azure portal. You could do this through Azure CLI or a software, an SDK as well, of your choice, whether it's Python, Go, Ruby, or PHP, of course, Java or Node as well. And what it'll allow you to do is, in a single call, create hundreds of virtual machines with the same exact image. So what you see on the screen here is I'm trying to deploy a virtual machine scale set. So you pick a region, you pick the VM SKU. This is the size of the virtual machine. What version of Ubuntu that you want to create, and I can say, so 6, I can say how many instances that you want in this virtual machine size. So I can say I want 40. I can create a username. And then I can pick the resource group that I want. In this case, I'm going to create a new one. And then the location, and then you're good to go. I will say yes. I just wanted to make sure I chose the right region. Just a few clicks and you're good to go. So I'm creating it in East US 2. And then I have to review the legal terms. Then I'm good to go. There we go. Just in a few clicks, I'm able to create a 40 machine virtual machine scale set. Now, while that is creating, I already have one that is created. Here's a simple application that allows you to kind of visualize, what a particular virtual machine scale set here. So what you see here is I have a virtual machine skill set dashboard. And the power of the virtual machine skill set is auto-scale. You know, like I mentioned, this is what the developers are looking for, being able to create infrastructure that is elastic and just pay as you go. So what you see here is I have an existing virtual machine skill set with 7 instances. Now I want to be able to kind of add capacity, right? So I can see, you know, my capacity is now elastically up to, 9. And, you know, you can see that, you know, the virtual machines are being created, and I don't have to actually worry about what happens, with the allocation of the virtual machines. They're all part of the same identical virtual machine skill set. So it's very easy for me to be able to, worry just about the, application side. And what type of application? So if you look at an example application, I have, I'm basically running DataStax, right? So DataStax is DataStax Cassandra is a cloud scale application that allows you to kind of create a Cassandra database that's running on a set of virtual machines, which are all, for all intents and purposes, are identical. I can run a Mesos cluster on top of virtual machine scale set. So these are some examples where you're able to kind of take advantage of the autoscale that, autoscale infrastructure that we provided. Let me also give a couple more examples on how easy it is to kind of create a scalable application. One is the container service. I'll also want to show, a NoSQL solution. So what I have here is, if you go here, I have a DataStax deployment. It's a very simple deployment. I'm able to kind of just go new, create virtual machine sizes, stacks. Virtual machines. I can go through our catalog here, and you'll see the DataStax Enterprise here. And I can say create. And again, a very simple user interface. Again, you can do this through Azure CLI, where you can create a DataStax cluster very, very fast. So since I've already created one, let me just skip to what I have. And once the cluster is deployed, you will see there's a bunch of worker nodes, and you also have the DataStax Ops Center up and running to a point where I can just click on the Ops Center, grab the public IP address here, and then you can just go and directly start managing your DataStax cluster. So I got the public IP address, I can grab that, and in fact I have it running up in here, and you'll see that the Ops Center is up and running within a few minutes. And at this point, as a developer, you're ready to go. And let's talk about the container service. The container service is, again, a very, very similar experience. And I actually have a container service that's already running. So if I look at my resource groups here, I'll pick a container service that's that I've already deployed. So you'll see here. It's essentially a Mesos cluster, which is running on top of virtual machine scale sets, which I just demonstrated to you. And you'll see there is a container service, there is a master, there is a set of agents. And what I'll do is once this is deployed, I basically am port forwarding to the master that is running the Marathon UI. And you'll see that I actually have a Marathon UI up and running. And at this point, I just have to create application. In fact, I already have a couple of applications that are running, and as a developer, it allows me to just quickly go and create the applications that I need, additional applications that I need, or using Marathon endpoint, attach a Marathon CLI, or a DCOS CLI, which is the Mesosphere version of CLI, and just go and auto scale as I need. So let's take a quick example here. So I want to take one of these examples and say I want to scale it to 5. And it's pretty simple, right? And I can do the same thing with CLI. And what I've done pretty quickly is, created 5 replicas of this. And as a developer, this gives me the agility that I need in order to kind of scale my application back and forth. Pivotal Cloud Foundry is another example of a platform as a service that is essentially allowing you to kind of create, the same set of same type of agility, specifically for Java applications, but also for other application frameworks, to create a very easy experience for creating a highly performant and scalable app. The last thing that I would mention is knowing your Azure subscription limits. So if you go back to the screen here, one of the key things that when you think about creating a large scalable application using Linux and open source is making sure that you're aware of the limits within your subscription. You have different type of quota limits, you know, your compute quota limits, your networking quota limits, storage quota limits. And you know, this page, that is again in azure.microsoft.com, allows you to kind of be aware of what the maximum limits are, right? So there are some default limits, and if you hit these limits, you know, it's a simple support ticket to kind of bump your limits. But in general, when you plan an application, a highly scalable application, you want to be aware of it. There's a lot of customers in, that are using open source in Azure. Here is a sampling. In the screen, you'll see, you know, if you go to customers.microsoft.com, you'll see case studies from hundreds of these customers, right? I would encourage you to kind of go take a look at any of these. If there is patterns that are, that you're using, that you're looking for moving into public cloud, you know, there is about a scalable or a performant applications, you know, you will find a bunch of references here. All right, well, thank you for watching my session. You know, if you, please feel free to kind of, submit your feedback. We would love to hear from you. And I hope, you were able to kind of get a sense of what it is to build a scalable and a performant Linux or open source application on Azure. Thank you for watching the session. I look forward to hearing your feedback.